Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to Psalms 116. So the Lord's led me to bring a message today in reference to his view of the death of his saints. So we're going to explore this text from Psalm 116, verse 15. And it reads simply, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So Larry, would you pray over the word today, please, and pray over me.
Yes, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to go into your word to find comfort for our sorrows, comfort for our friends. We are so thankful that George is already with you.
Yes, Lord.
Telling by for us.
Yay, Lord.
Ask you in the name, amen.
Amen. Tell him high for us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What is the Lord telling us here? Well, he's saying that when a Christian dies, it's not a matter of indifference to him. He knows about every pain, every breath that is drawn, every groan that is uttered. All of it is important to him. The word does not say that death is precious in our sight, but in God's sight. This psalm speaks of the death of God's from God's viewpoint. Whether in war or peace, whether death comes suddenly or after a lingering illness, whether on a busy highway or in a quiet bedroom, it comes because God permits it. And it is precious in his sight. So please see what it means to us. The death of a child of God means a change of environment. We live here in an environment of sin. The best Christian is surrounded by it. The best home is contaminated by it. Everywhere we look, there is sin in some form. But in heaven, there's a complete change. Instead of being surrounded by sinners, we associate with angels and with the redeemed of all the ages and with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think of the byproducts of sin. Sickness, sorrow, pain, poverty, broken hearts, broken homes, and death. And these came into the world because of disobedience to God's word. But when God's people die, they go to a place where there is never any sickness, sorrow, trouble, or pain. No more operations, no more weeping, no more funerals. It is no wonder that a Christian's death is precious in God's sight. He knows that person is now safe from all these things. The death of a child of God means a change in nature. In this life, we are all burdened with a carnal, sinful, fleshly nature. It causes us continual grief. It's always getting us into trouble. We don't want to sin. That's the spiritual nature within us. But we do. Go ahead, and we sin, and that's the old carnal nature within us. Simon Peter loved Jesus, but the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter lied 3 times about knowing Jesus. He said he didn't know Jesus, and he punctuated his denial with cursing and an oath. Then Jesus looked straight at Peter, and that one look broke Peter's heart. He went out and wept bitterly. His denial was the result of his carnal or sinful nature, which was always a burden to him, as it is to all of us. Paul was the great apostle, but he said, "I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." He said it was because of the sinful nature that dwelt within him. But when God's people die, they go to a place where there is never any sickness, sorrow, trouble, or pain. And that nature, our nature is changed. And then finally, the death of a child of God means a welcome home. A welcome home. This world is not our home. The years we spend here are nothing compared to eternity. Our citizenship is in heaven. And before long, we will all be going to our heavenly home. Often when any of us go away from home, we always look forward to getting back home. As we begin to get close to home, there's always a spot or something that indicates, oh, we're almost home. I'm sure you've had that sensation. We're almost there. And we're always glad when we reach that spot because it means we're almost home. Someday on the journey of life, we are going to come to that last spot, and the saints and the angels and our blessed Savior Jesus will be waiting to welcome us home, just as they have welcomed George home. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, what we are to strive for. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We've studied some of this back a few weeks back. It says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, when we invest in people's lives and people's souls, which are eternal, we're laying up treasure in heaven because they're eternal. And that's what George did. He invested in people's lives and in people's souls. He loved people. He lived way up there by himself, but he loves people. He'd talk on the phone 3 times a day to Marilyn, at least once a day to his mom, and if people would call, he'd chat. And he always invited us up. Come up and see me. He invested in each one of us. You and I are George's treasures that he laid up in heaven. And so then, maybe it's time for us to think about that, this question. Where am I storing up treasure? Where are you? Are we storing up treasure here with things that rust and burn and are eaten by moths? In all of our study in Luke, we keep talking about that. Are we focusing on the worldly things or on heavenly things? Are we storing up treasure here where thieves can break in and steal it? Or are you and I storing up treasures in heaven by investing in the lives of those God has put before us to his glory? I believe that's a good question for each one of us to ponder. We should assess our lives every so often to see where we are in our relationship with God and with those around us. Where are our treasures? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the very fact that you are here right now shows that there's still time to store up treasures in heaven by doing God's will for your life, by investing in each other. And we all perhaps need to get busy to stay with that task. You know, there's often talk today about the end of the world and the return of the Christ. And are we ready? But the truth is that our personal day of the Lord, the day we leave this world, is likely to come before Christ returns. Are you ready? Are you ready for your day? Are you confident in your relationship with Christ and with God the Father? Or do doubts linger? Well, I urge you to settle that issue now and begin storing up your treasures in heaven and not in this world. Let us make sure we have the right relationship with God. God the Father through Christ his Son. And let no one have to say upon your passing, "I think he or she went to heaven, but I'm not sure." Let us seek the Lord while he can be found. And we can look to that joyous day when we will be reunited with George and with all of our other loved ones that are now resting at peace in our heavenly home. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, describes what our heavenly home is going to look like and feel like. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea." Have you ever wondered what that meant? There was no longer any sea. Sea stands for chaos. Sea stands for chaos. And so there is no chaos in heaven. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is now George's home. And that's where we will go if we keep our things right with our Lord. So I want to close in reading Psalm 91. So why don't you turn to Psalm 91. It's a psalm that we talked about a lot during the pandemic. But it's got another use. I'm going to make this psalm really personal. And I want you to do this on occasion to encourage yourself. You replace the pronouns with your name. I'm going to replace the pronouns with George's name and just see how this psalm speaks to us in terms of comfort and care. Psalm 91, verse 1. George, who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. George will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save George from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover George with his feathers, and under his wings, George will find refuge. His faithfulness will be George's shield and rampart. George will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at George's side, 10,000 at George's right hand, but it will not come near George. George will only observe with his eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If George makes the Most High his dwelling, even the Lord, who is George's refuge, then no harm will befall George, no disaster will come near George's tent, for he will command his angels concerning George to guard George in all his ways. They will lift up George in their hands so that George will not strike his foot against a stone. George will tread upon the lion and the cobra. George will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because George loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. And I will protect George, for he acknowledges my name. George will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver George and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy George and show him my salvation. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who art strength to the weak, refreshment to the weary, comfort to the sad, help to the tempted, and life to the dying, make us, we pray, be sensitive to the presence of your comfort in accordance with our Lord's assurance that we will not be left alone. And grant us, Father God, faith in approaching the shades of night, the promise of a glorious sunrise, through Christ our Lord and our Savior of all. In this hour, keep us close to you, O Lord, and to one another, as we remember our loved one, George, with deep affection and gratitude, who has gone home to you. We pray for all who love George, and in turn, for those whom he loved. Your word tells us, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and is now seated at the right hand of your throne. Help us, Lord, to run our race set before us with perseverance. And as our turn comes to return to you, may we, by your grace, be reunited with George and all those in your kingdom where love, peace, and joy reign forever. We thank you, Lord, for the life of George and for the privilege to know him. Reward his goodness. Be merciful with his shortcomings as we commit him to your care. And we pray for the sustaining power of your everlasting arms upon us. Grant us the ability, Lord, to walk this day in dignity and face tomorrow with courage. Amen. Hallelujah.